When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Her with Amina Brown. I'm here in the living room with like one of my favorite people, like one of my favoritest people. Please welcome poet, storyteller, public speaker, and author of new children's book, Winner's Gifts, Caitlin Curtis.
Thank you. We are here. Everyone's applauding at home. Yes.
You know what, Caitlin? I realized today that I think you and Kalundra are my most often featured guests on this podcast. I think you and Kalundra, if I could give out awards for who appeared here the most, it's you and Kalundra, because Kalundra has been coming on every year the past 3 years to talk like best of TV stuff with me each year. And I somehow find a way to really convince you to come here and talk to me.
We have done it. This is our third, third time.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I've talked to you once a year.
It is our third, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks, Caitlin.
I'll take that. Thank you.
It's really, y'all, I was just telling Caitlin before we started recording, it's really partly my excuse just because we love each other. So it's really partly my excuse to be like, oh, let me just catch up with Caitlin real quick on a recording.
Recording for all these people. It's fine. It's fine.
You know, we're here for it. We're here for it. Caitlin, I'm so excited about your new book. This is your first children's book. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm really excited. Also, I don't know what to feel. So many.
Can you talk us through, where did the idea begin for Winter's Gifts?
Yeah, we lived in Vermont at the time, and it was awesome. I've wanted to write a children's book for a long time, but I thought, what if I could write 4 books that's a series and like could be a box set one day? Because I would want that. Like, I would buy that as a parent. What if I could create these 4 books that could be in a box set that someone could buy and have to show in their house throughout the seasons? Because I change my house throughout the seasons. I do all of that. And I get out books for each, like in each of our tubs, it's like the season books come out. And so this first book came, like, it came quickly. I needed to write it, I think. And a lot of it is like, you know, relating to me as a kid. A lot of it's watching my own kids. And then it was like, we lived in Vermont and it was winter. So it was like, you know, when you think of snowy winter, it was like the perfect setting for me to just sit on my couch by my wood stove in this tiny rental house we were living in Vermont. We lived there for 1 year, and it was like, this book was written in that season. It was perfect, you know, and writing about our husky Sam, who passed away when we lived in Vermont, but he's in the book. So he's like memorialized in this series, which I really love. And yeah, I wanted to write something that could sort of be universal, but could also speak to our Potawatomi identity. Mm. And it just kind of came together really well in this celebration of all the seasons. So we start with winter and it's coming out and it'll be out for this, you know, cozy season that's coming. And I'm very excited.
Oh, I love it. And I'm really excited to dive into this more with you. Y'all, one of my favorite things about Caitlin is the ways that she and I can talk about spirituality, and that when we talk about spirituality, it has a lot of freedom and boundlessness. I have definitely called Caitlin like, okay, so let's talk about this dream I had. Like, we have really interesting conversations around that. And I think the idea of winter as a season is very spiritual and not related necessarily to any particular religion, but it's a very spiritual time. It's a time where we are sort of contemplating the end of the year. We may be reflecting on the year that's passed. We may be trying to prepare for the year to come. There's just all of this sort of ruminating of the soul during that right. time. And for some of us in that season, you know, you being in Vermont during that time, it's like you have some time where it's like you just have to be indoors a lot more yeah. too, because of the weather, the snow, the cold, all those things, right?
We were inside a lot. A yeah. lot in Vermont. It is cold. Yeah, but it was beautiful. And I mean, winter's hard. It's a hard season for a lot of people. It's hard for mental health, emotional health. I mean, we're not getting out in the sunlight as much. Like, winter is hard. And so I wanted to, you know, we acknowledge that, but also speak to, but what are the gifts that it also gives us? And yeah. like you said, it's like this, it is this hibernation season. It's this inward season. It's for us, it's the storytelling time, you know, it's the time of the elders. Like, when we are learning from those who came before us and those who are older and wiser than us, and they're telling us the stories that we need to hear. It's almost like you're like storing up all those stories for the coming year, for the coming seasons. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. So I wanted to kind of figure out a way to honor that in this book.
Yeah. Can you talk about, as we are now sort of at the time of this recording, sort of digging into fall, which you start sort of feeling that transition, that fall is, you know, going to fold itself into winter. And for some people, there starts to be like a dread, you know, about that for very good reasons and very important reasons. And for some people, there starts to be this like relief, this sense of like, okay, we're going to come to a time where I know I'm not going to work as much. I know I'm going to have more time with my friends or my family, my people that I love. What are your thoughts about how we can even begin the process to become more intentional about embracing winter?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to like plan ahead mm-hmm. as much as we hate to hear that. There is this beauty in, I mean, we plan ahead for the celebrations of our life. You'd plan ahead for a birthday party. You'd plan ahead for these things. So, you know, mark your calendar and plan ahead for winter solstice, like, decide to cook your favorite food that night and sit with a few people you love and light some candles or light a fire and just like intentionally set that side, that time aside, and talk about gratitude and talk about grief and talk about who you are and what you're learning about yourself in the season you find yourself in, even in your own life, that life season. And what are you hoping to learn in winter? Like, I think, without becoming like, you know, super linear or like checking boxes, it's also really helpful to plan ahead mm-hmm. and to be prepared for this moment, for this time that we're going to set this aside, because it's going to get crazy and busy. You know, December comes and it's wild how busy things get. So set it aside. You know, last year I got too busy and I couldn't really plan our family's solstice. And I was really sad about that. And I was, I was doing my audiobook for Living Resistance, my last book. So I was like taking the train into Philly every day and doing these recordings. And I didn't have the space or the energy. And one day I showed up at home and my partner Travis had like decked the whole table. It was full of food. I mean, and he's an incredible cook and he just did it. He did it all for us. And it was like, oh my gosh, the sweetest thing, because he knew how much it meant to me. He knows that it's just a part of our family and we want to still honor that. And so he totally surprised me. And I was really grateful, you know, like to have someone else be like, this is something we want to honor. Let's do it. We're still going to do it. And so just make the space and try to plan. And I think that that's a beautiful gift to give yourself, is to be ready, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I was talking recently with Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes on this podcast, and we were talking about self-care and where celebration also plays a role in that, where joy plays a role in our self-care. And that was one of the things she said. She said, sometimes we need to plan ahead our celebrations or even our commemorations. There is sometimes a thing that we want to hold a certain space for. It may be something celebratory. It may be something that we need to just mark time about or take time to honor in a way. And that does take a bit of planning and community, that in that moment that you were like, this year, I can't be the person who plans. I can't be the person who puts this thing together. And that your partner was like, it can be me this year. You know, I think that's really, really dope.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And that's so true. I tell people things like that all the time, like, this in the same vein, like plan ahead for your care. If you need to schedule it, if you're that type of person, then treat it like it's part of your job, like schedule in the things that you need. And it's hard because especially being an author, you work on these books for so long and then you finally get to the end and it's like celebration, but also total exhaustion and relief and all this. Then the stress just builds somehow even more than you thought it would. And a lot of times I neglect the celebration part of just like, take a deep breath. It finally, the book is out. The thing has happened, like celebrate it. And that's really hard for me actually. So I'm going to remind myself of that as this children's book comes out. And as winter approaches, like drink a little bit of extra hot cocoa and sit by the fire a little longer and take your time with it. And I think that that's good advice. I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Right.
The therapy session. Great.
You know, that's what we're here for. But Caitlin, you know, you and I have talked to about just how interesting it is being an author, that it's a really wonderful privilege and opportunity to, you know, be able to take the words that you have and put them in this book. But it is hard. It is hard. And I have gotten to the end of the process and not felt like as much of a winner as I thought I was going to feel. Like, I thought I was going to be like that real, like Rocky, bah, 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 you know, like that. And instead I was just like,
in bed with the covers up.
Yeah. Just totally crying, you know? So I do think it's important after all of that to not just honor that, you know, writing a book is air quotes an achievement. It's to honor all that you had to put in to it, all that it took out of you to do. And unfortunately, you know, in the business part of us being authors, I feel like the celebration of us can get lost in the sauce. It's like the book comes out, you've got all the interviews, if you decide to do those, you've got all this promotional stuff, you've got to post stuff on social media, you got to do all those things. There's no one there. You had your editor to walk through these parts with you, you had your line editor, your copy editor, you had all these people, but you don't have a person outside of your people that love you in your life to actually come alongside you and be like, hey, let's go to dinner, or let's bake our favorite thing. Let's do something to celebrate you, that like you did this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why, like, I tell people all the time that being an author is, it's a solo practice, right? Our work can be very isolated and solo, but like we're part of this community of writers, but also whoever those people are that are in our life, like we cannot do it alone. It is always connected to community and how we are able to, especially if we're from marginalized communities or oppressed voices trying to share our words with the world, like we need the people who hold us up and shout for us. Cause sometimes it is like, you just want to be done and almost like forget it happened for a second. And you don't want to do that, you know, like celebrate the thing, the beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about the holidays here because as we are leading, I think the interesting thing about winter is, as a literal season, it has a lot of beauty in it. It has a lot of things that it can teach us. I also think, particularly for those of us who are living in America right now, there is sometimes the feeling of like, oh shit, here I go with all the holiday functions and some, you know, like it gets to be that sort of feeling of like, now it's going to be all this stuff. You know, my friends that have kids are like, I got to do this stuff at the school. And now you got a holiday concert. I got to, you know, and then you have like your extended family stuff. And you're like, oh, well, we're going to go over so-and-so's house. And yikes, the way the conversation was last year and whatever right. that stuff is. So I feel like that also participates in bringing us the feelings of dread that some of us have as it relates mm-hmm. to holidays and holiday gatherings. I wanted to get some of your perspective about this because I wanted to share with you that I feel like the beginning part of the pandemic where we were all kind of like separated away from each other, there were a lot of hard things about that. In some ways, there were also some learnings for me of like, oh, look at this holiday time that we got to have that wasn't the hustle and bustle, that right. wasn't the big party, the big gathering to go to. Like you sort of got to kind of focus in a little bit more with intentionality because we were having to, for the sake of our health, opt out yeah. of some things, right? To keep our kids safe, keep our loved ones safe, keep our elders safe, right? That's what we were having to do. So then when the period of time came where it was like, oh, it's safer now. We can do the stuff we were doing before. And I was like, oh God, do we have to do that though?
All the introverts were like, I think we're okay.
Like, I actually...
We're gonna get at home a little longer.
Like, I love you guys, but I enjoyed it without y'all, so... Not sure. And I also think it can be... And you and I have talked a lot about having to build boundaries, right? We've talked about that mm-hmm. on this podcast as far as boundaries we've had to build around social media and our work, you know, mm-hmm. boundaries we've had to build around when we're doing events for our work, you know. And you and I personally have talked about other things in life personally where we've had to build boundaries too. And I feel like one of the boundaries that's real hard is around the holidays when mm-hmm. what you may need or what your family may need may be different from. Mm-hmm. Your friendships may be different from your extended family. What do yeah. you think caused you to get to a point where you felt you had permission to opt out?
That's a good question. this is hard. And I think so many of us dance around this and it is really hard. The other like sort of blaring thing for a lot of us that is connected to family and friends and all this stuff is the, what happens to those of us who's like sort of vision of this wonderful America starts to cave in.
Yeah.
And so that's like, I'm thinking specifically about like Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, right. sort of these, some of these holidays where you're starting to be like, oh, that's like really rampant capitalism and consumerism. And it's kind of gross, isn't it? And oh, like, why can't we celebrate also like the other holidays around this time? Like, why is it only Christmas and not all the other holidays that are celebrated, you know, like things like this. And Thanksgiving is what we know it to be. It's a total colonial holiday. So how do we reckon with the history around all of it? And every year when it comes up, I am, you know, we live so far from our family too. I mean, we live across the country. So there's always the travel and there's just so many little strategic things. And I think part of it is every year is sort of the sitting down, do the strategic planning. What can we handle? What are we able to do physically, whatever, with the school breaks, with all the things, like what can we actually handle that we're able to do? And then also, I think it's important to ask, like, what do we need?
Yeah.
Because it just isn't, it's not helpful to just like run ourselves dry. So last year for Thanksgiving, we actually went and stayed in an off-grid tiny house in upstate New York. It was like the weirdest, best thing ever. I mean, like we rock climb as a family. So what we needed most, and we're going to do something similar again this year, what we need most is to just get to the land and to the quiet
yes.
and not really focus on this particular holiday.
Right.
That's not everybody. Like everyone has different things. We love food. We love meals. We love gratitude. We love the act of Thanksgiving, but we would prefer to just like be on some land where it's quiet and actually commune with nature.
Yeah.
Think about Mother Earth, do that as a family, you know? And so that's become really important to us. So last year we just stayed at this, like in this crazy off-grid little house thing. and we're like pumping our water for our coffee in the morning. He's like, we had to work for it. We had to work for that holiday, but it was perfect because it wasn't anything like the stress of what it usually is.
Yeah.
And it was great. And we celebrated and we did what we needed. And I think that a lot of us who struggle with boundaries, who struggle with these conversations, feel guilty and selfish a lot of the time. And we go to therapy being like, what are we going to do this year? Mm-hmm. Are you going to help me figure this out? Right.
That's the thing to the therapist. How are you going to help me figure this out? Yeah.
It's hard. It's asking each of ourselves what we can handle. Mm-hmm. What do we need? What can we handle? And how can we like strategize? And it's really funny that's like what I would say is that we have to strategize. But I guess it's like the planning ahead for solstice. It's the same thing. And you have to just have some time to do the things you want, because there are so many things, right? Like pulling for our time, so many parties, so many gatherings, so many meals. Where's the rest? Where's the care? Where's the like sort of quiet kinship? Where's the connection with Mother Earth? Like, right. Are you doing that throughout mm-hmm. that time? Because I think it becomes so much about money and gifts. And, you know, in my children's book, there's like a line where Donnie, the main character, is talking to her friends from school and they're talking about Christmas or the holidays. And she's like, what about the gifts of winter? And they're like, what about them? Like, they're kind of like, Mother Earth doesn't give us gifts. Like, what are you talking about? And that's Donnie's big dilemma in the book is, oh no, these like people who are my friends, they don't believe that Mother Earth gives us gifts. Mm-hmm. They want the tangible presence. They want the stuff. But what about the gifts that are just already existing out there? And I think the best way for us to even practice embodiment, to get back to our own bodies, our own grounding, to learn boundaries, all of that is actually connected to how we access our relationship to Mother Earth.
Right.
And I know that people don't realize that. And I'm realizing it as an adult. Like, I didn't grow up learning that. But when we start to repair our relationship to the land, it changes our bodies. Mm. It gives us strength to do things and make decisions that we wouldn't before. And I don't really know how to describe how it happens, mm-hmm. but I know it happens. And I know that it heals us and helps us. And I think the holiday seasons are like a perfect time to put that into practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Oh, that is so helpful, Caitlin. I'm like, I don't know why every time I talk to you, I'm like tearing up a little bit, but I'm like, man, that's so helpful, because I think a lot of it is based on sort of an Americanized, probably, you know, insert capitalist vision of what holidays are supposed to be. And that's very centered around what we deem to be tradition, which is not always, it's not always tradition in a holistic sense, as far as it being connected to the people we come from or connected to the land, to those stories that we need to retell. Sometimes it's tradition connected to obligation, connected to, you know, the appearance that it's supposed to have in the picture or in the video, right? And so when we're like, oh, my whole family's gathering for such and such holiday, I will be messing up the tradition by deciding that that's not a gathering I think I can participate in. And I do think a part of this time gives us hopefully the ability to, where we can, with family and friends, have some honest conversation around that, to have some honest conversation. I know I've had to say, hey, such and such holiday is coming up and we might need to not be at that. Or if we come to that, we might need to be there for a much shorter time than you're used to seeing us, you know, to start sort of having some of those conversations where you can. Some of us have family members where you can't have those conversations. They're not going to be helpful.
But do it early.
Do it earlier when you can.
You know, just get it out there.
Laying the groundwork there of like that way in case we leave early or we get there and we don't have gifts. You know, like you already know what's happening here. You know, I think if you are listening to this and you're sort of feeling that sense of dread and the that comes with it, I think sometimes that dread is trying to speak to us, which is to answer the question you said, Caitlin, what is it you need in this season? What you may have needed a previous holiday season, you may have different needs right now.
Yeah.
And to be able to pay attention to that. You know, I've had some holidays where it was like I needed to call my friends and say, I need you to come to my house. Just bring whatever food you have. We don't care. We'll have like an ugly potluck. I don't care. I need my house full of people. Yeah. I'm like, the food's great, but maybe it doesn't look great. You know, it's just bring your ugly food to my home. I just need to like hear people's voices that I love, and we'll play some card games or whatever we do. And sometimes that's what you need. And there are other seasons that come that you're like, I need that tiny house. You know, I need to be closer to the land, away from the grid, away from the devices and all of that. So I think that's a really powerful question to ask. What do you need this year? Yeah.
Yeah. And to be aware of the fact that other people won't need what you need. So maybe don't invite that person to go on the long hike with you, because that's probably may not be what they need. And if you need it and you're aware that they don't, like hold some space and maybe meet up for coffee at some other point, you know, like don't expect other people to be changing in the same ways that you're changing. Or, you know, a lot of us are deconstructing. Yeah. We're asking hard questions. Mm-hmm. We're ending up sort of separating and sifting out relationships. Like that's happening for a whole lot of people. And when we start to question, especially the norms or the status quo in America and around things like holidays, it gets really difficult sometimes. But just like it's hard for us, it's also going to be hard for others sometimes too. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're just going to come along with us then. So there is this like, there's a reciprocity of care, I think, that we can hold with others. And I know that that's hard for some of us to hear, especially if we feel, you know, if they're wrong, but we're right. Mm-hmm. Or if like, you know, we're trying to decolonize this holiday, like, what are you doing? But we have to hold space for that because not everyone is going to be at that. So again, what do we need? How can we hold all of that, you know, and grounding ourselves with what we need, I think is the best way to do it, you know, and to create space where we can.
I love that you said reciprocity of care. And that is hard because sometimes, especially if what is sending you to opt out of something, if rage is involved, you know, if like you've gotten to a point where you're just like, I'm fed up with some shit. So no, I said what I said. We not going to be doing that this year at whatever holiday. I said we not doing that. You know, like it's and your anger is understandable and valid. It's very valid. And to where you can hold space for the other person across the table, that they may have their own very valid emotional reasons why they want to gather in these ways, and just finding ways to do what you need for yourself. And in some ways too, Caitlin, I also feel as an oldest child and people pleaser, I've had to accept that sometimes doing what I need will be disappointing to other people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that doesn't mean yeah. that because it's disappointing to them that it's wrong, that I'm doing what I need to do. But there is a way I can say, this isn't a malicious thing I'm doing to you in any way. This is me doing what I need. And I realize you wanted to see us at that gathering. I realize you hoped that we would participate in this such and such way. And I realize it will be disappointing to you that we can't. But your mm-hmm. disappointment can't be the motivator for why I need to move beyond what is a boundary for me right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those are wise words from a people pleaser.
Okay.
For all of us. Thank you. Okay. It's hard. Oh. It's hard.
So hard. I think that this time in the last 3 years really showed me how much I was used to doing out of obligation.
Yeah.
So many things that I was just like, oh, I actually, now that I had a chance to opt out of that, I actually realized I had years I wasn't having a good time, or I had years I didn't enjoy this. I had years I needed something else, and I mm-hmm. wasn't able to listen to my inside soul. I wasn't able to listen to my own spirit in a way in that season mm-hmm. of life, but I can hear me now mm-hmm. and I can hear yeah. what I need now.
And I think a lot of that for a lot of us who grew up in Christian spaces too, that goes back to that same kind of people pleasing expectation of like, well, of course you're going to celebrate this holiday, or of course you're going to come to this service or this youth event, or you're going to participate in this way. Like, of course you are, because that's what we do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to disrupt any of those status quos, any of those social norms within our religious communities or our families or, you know, whatever it is, our social communities, like that can be really scary. That can be really scary for a lot of people. Like it's not easy, mm-hmm. you know? And so like going gentle with ourselves during this time is, I mean, I love the holidays. I love the coming coziness. I love wrapping presents and thinking of people and giving them these gifts that are meaningful to me. And I picked them for these people for this reason. Like, I love all of that. I love watching Christmas movies. I love the music. I love it. I think it's incredible. And also it can, at the same time, I feel the exhaustion and I feel sort of the tension. So it's, and we're allowed to shift. We right. are allowed to shift. We mm-hmm. are allowed to change. We are allowed to say, for some reason, this holiday feels really hard this year, and I don't know why. Maybe I can change a few things about how I'm approaching it, because last year was different. And right. like, we have to hold space for that. I think mm-hmm. if the COVID season incubation taught us anything, it was that like, we have to hold space that some years things are completely different than other years.
Yeah.
So just because we make a decision for 1 year, that doesn't mean that's always going to be our pattern either. And it's okay to like, to deconstruct, to ask the questions, to say, I don't know why, but whatever I did last year isn't working for me this year, and I have to change something, you know? And,
yeah.
And that's okay. It really is okay, but we have to give ourselves permission for it to be okay.
Yeah. This was my first time the last couple of years opting out of Easter. Mm-hmm. I was normally a person who's like, I mean, first of all, in having worked in Christian spaces a long time, Easter was a work day for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Because I
yeah.
was going there to speak at this place, to perform for Good Friday and Easter service and stuff. And then after I left doing Christian spaces, then it was like, okay, well, now I just get to like enjoy that holiday with my family. We get to like go to church together, go eat afterwards or whatever. And then between 2020, 2021, somewhere up in there, it was like Easter was approaching and I was like, not me this year. Not me. I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to go to anyone's like after dinner thing you do after that. Like just opted out. I think 1 year I just watched Beyonce's Lemonade, which turned out to be very great. That was yes, my like, you know, this is still, you know, resurrection, redemption yeah. in some way. This,
yes. That's
what I'm doing. Yes. And yeah. a part of me was shaking, really, you know, inwardly, a lot of trepidation of like, oh my God, what does it mean that I've just decided to like
opt out
of this? Where am I? I feel like when you grow up evangelical, there's this way that you're like, oh God, I'm on the slippery slope. I'm just going to keep sliding down. I don't know what I'm sliding into, but it's very slippery and it's a slope and I'm
you know? Yep. Yes. And what's so funny though, is that so many of our Christian holidays are like super Christian and then super capitalistic and weird, like the Easter bunny. And like, you hope to get a bunch of eggs with like money in them, but also like make sure it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
So we have these weird, you know, and like Santa and capitalism and are you a good little kid and Jesus's birth. Right. And so there's like all of these things where we've, you know, it's just what, it's what cultures and societies do, but we sort of like blend these weird things together and call it a holiday. And then when you start to ask deep questions, you're like, which part have I given up? Or have I just like, sort of, am I done with all of it? Like, mm-hmm. or, you know, do we do the Easter bunny part, but not the other part? Or do we like, what happens now? Like, because it's so cultural, it's so embedded. Right. And I think we're going through some of that in our family as well. And me personally, like, what parts do we keep? Right. Are we allowed to keep bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Are we not allowed to do that? Mm-hmm. Do we, you know, is the whole thing gone and we just ride the slippery slope
down to wherever it takes us,
you know? And there's a bunch of people waiting there. So it's not like we're the only ones doing it. A bunch of people have done it. Like, a lot of people are trying to ask these questions.
Yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think it is good to like explore that. I think I'm also a person who sort of like if I could use dating as an example, it's like, I can't be like cordial or friends with someone I just broke up with. So it's like, I need that time of like, let's just not see each other. Let's not talk. Let's not text. I don't want to do that. And then if like enough time passes by where I've been able to like sort of find my voice again, figure out my feelings, whatever, then I can see that person somewhere and just be like, oh, hey, like, how are you? I still don't want to kick it with you. And I still may not want to go to coffee or whatever, but I can at least be like, I can have a conversation for a little while and not be so awkward. And I sort of feel, when you're in a process of deconstructing, whether that's, you know, from the religion you were raised with, or also like you were saying, Caitlin, a lot of us are learning about the roots of some of the holidays yeah. that we celebrated beyond religion. And we're learning the roots of that are very terrible. And so that causes us to also begin to question. Right. So it's like, right. sometimes I'm a person, and everyone's process on this will be different. I'm a person who's like, I just need like a cold turkey away from you, away from that. And then I'll start to find myself sort of finding the mosaic of things
yeah.
that yeah. that I'm like, oh yeah, I do. I may not want to go to this kind of service, but I do like the singing and I do want to keep some yes. parts of that. Totally. I may not want to celebrate this in this sort of way, but I do want to find a way to honor the ancestors by how we do this type of thing, you know? So I do think the mosaic part can be kind of fun and interesting and healing, that process. But I do need the breakup time sometimes where I'm just like, nope, no, thank you. No, I don't know. I don't want, no, thank you. I don't want to hear Away in a Manger. I don't want to do that. I don't want your Easter bunny. Maybe I do want to get the candies on discount after Easter's over, but I don't want, maybe I will get a little pastel Reese's cup, but listen.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love to use that dating metaphor because my metaphor is like a pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. So I like go from one end to the complete other. And then eventually after the grief has subsided a little, I start finding my way to a balance, to a center, to something. So yeah. your mosaic is like, it's my balance and center.
Yeah.
And I love that we have these two different metaphors that are the same thing.
Yes.
But I think that's healthy. I think that it's like when you... you know, when I realized that there are certain foods that I can't eat and I have these health issues, like you have to cut it,
right.
like cut it all out. Mm-hmm. And then you slowly start adding it back in to see how you feel and how it affects you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really similar with this, you
yeah.
know, you cut it all out or most of it or whatever you need. And then you see, and I don't want to go into like, then like appropriation world where we're like, oh, these religions all look nice. Let's grab
right,
a little
right.
from everywhere and we'll just mm-hmm. make something. This
right.
is fun. So that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
But we're saying like, what can we create that's meaningful? Mm-hmm. I would love for any human to create a winter solstice ritual that mm-hmm. means something to them, that honors their ancestors, that honors who they are, that brings their culture like mm-hmm. to the table and their gifts of gratitude. You know, like how can we do that? Honoring others. How can we make it about kinship and belonging and like this deep, beautiful connection with Mother Earth and with our bodies and yeah. with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do after getting away from a lot of these systems and spaces that are so like so much about disembodiment and oppression and, you know, lies, like the right. stories that we haven't been told. And I think we're all trying to get back to some sort of, how do we reapproach these things with care and nuance and the beauty of their complexity, the mosaic, like the balance, how do we find that? And that's hard.
Yeah.
And it calls for care, mm-hmm. which I think is why so many of us are exhausted when this time rolls around. If we're doing that work, it is exhausting. Like, oh, what do I feel about Thanksgiving this year? What kind of food should I make? What would be appropriate? Whose lands am I on? Like all those questions, mm-hmm. it's tiring. And like, you have to just go slow and be okay that it's exhausting because it's beautiful work, mm-hmm. but it can be exhausting.
Yeah. And it takes time too. It's like you said, so it's time. Holding space for where you are in this particular year. And that next year you may need different things. You may be in a different yeah. place. And as time goes on, if you are beginning this work inside yourself, then you will continue on with that work. You will grow, you will evolve. You will have different ways that you will change and know what your boundaries are, what your wants are. You will know more of what feels ethical to you, of what
right.
part of your right. processes have integrity to you, and how to walk in all of that. And all of that is a time thing. Fortunately, it's a time thing. You know, it's like you can't expect yourself to be like, herein, I will read a book as long as all of Shakespeare's works, in which I will know all of the things that I'm supposed to know and all of the practices that I'm supposed to take upon myself, as well as the practices that I should not do because they don't belong to me and I should not be involved in that. Like, you're not going to know that in 3 months or a year. No. You know, no. you're just going to be building a life of knowing and evolving. I mean, that's the only way I can think.
Yes. And a life of it. And that's like the key is when people ask me about my book, Living Resistance, when they're like, you know, like, what's the big takeaway or one of them? And I'm like, well, the way I end the book is that resistance is lifelong work.
Yep.
So all of this stuff is like, this is our whole life. We could be 85 and be like, I don't like the way I've been doing that for the past 2 decades. I'm going to change things this year. This is the year. And we do it. And it's great. Like, please do it. If there's still something that needs to change and shift in you when you're 85, when you're 87 years old, when you're 23, when you're, you know, right. 36, 42, yeah. whatever, like, let the things change mm-hmm. and let yourself evolve and let the story be told differently, because that whole idea that it's never too late. And also that our whole life is for this work.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, so that we're not like, I have to read all the books before October and I have to be totally ready this year. Like, do the things you can do. Please tell the truth about certain holidays. Like, that's awesome work. Please do that. But don't, like, you know, try to recreate it all completely. Mm-hmm. It has to be right. That's just more pressure we're putting on ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's not the goal. Mm-hmm. That's not what we should be doing.
Right. Exactly. Okay, talk to me about winter's gifts. I don't want you to give away all of the gifts that are in the book, but when we are in the fall leading into winter, mm-hmm. what are a couple of winter's gifts? What are a couple of those gifts that we can think about, be more intentional about observing? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to read a little from the book.
I was hoping so.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the first few pages because okay. I feel like that it's such a good question. And like I said earlier, like, winter can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Even the coming, we can start. I mean, people deal with depression in winter. It's very real. There's a lot. There's a heaviness that comes and a blanketing, and that can be very hard. So I would never dismiss how sure. really hard it is for people, mm-hmm. but they're also just these beautiful gifts. So let me just read a little bit from
the
book.
Good.
And I always say, like, children's books are not just for children. Like, I have 2 kids and I've been reading them children's books for years, and we just had piles and piles of them. And I'm like reading them a book and they're like, you know, 1 in 3. And I'm like sobbing and reading this book. And they're like, I don't know what's wrong, mom, but you seem to really like, well, I don't know what's happening. And there's just some children's books, like, they're so therapeutic. Like, I'm always like, we're still connected to our child selves. There is still some healing to be done there.
Yeah.
So if you need to buy winter's gifts and like, let it heal your relationship to your child self, please do it.
Yeah.
Like, please do it. All right, I'm going to read. Donnie touches a frost-covered branch on the oak tree in her yard. She shivers. Winter, or Babon, is coming in a few days. Her family will light a fire or shkode and think about the darkest night of the year. Many of her friends are afraid of the dark, but not Donnie. The dark feels like a hug, and winter is a time for cozy hugs. The dark of winter reminds us to rest. Even the bears rest in winter. And then there's a section here. Donnie thinks about the gifts of winter. They are different from the gifts that come during the holidays. Winter's gifts are telling stories and waiting. Another gift of winter is resting like the bears. After we rest for a while, the sun brings back the grass, the flowers, and the leaves on the trees. So I think that thinking about winter as like this, reminding ourselves that it's this preparation time, like that the bears, they're resting for a reason. Like they know what's coming when spring comes. And, you know, and even the plants that die aren't just dead, but they know what's coming in spring when everything's going to come to life again. And I think that that's beautiful. Like this time of covering ourselves up, going inward, waiting, asking what the waiting means in preparation for what comes next. And I think that thinking of winter that way, I think helps me. Like it's a waiting time, but it's also a preparation time.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I love that imagery that the darkness of winter is like a hug. Oh, oh, that's so good. That is for children, but it is for adults and all the kids inside of us too, to remember that. Caitlin, thank you so much. And you're not going to get me in my tear ducts today. You know, Caitlin started reading them pages, child. I'm about to be in here crying. Okay. Oh my gosh. Tell the people where they can buy 5 copies of this book. Y'all know how I do. Anytime someone's here talking to us about a book, I want you to buy 1, buy 5. That way, when somebody comes to your house and they're like, oh my gosh, what's this book? You can be like, oh, look, here's one. You could take that one with you. You have one you keep in your house. So where can they buy 5 copies of this book, and how can they stay connected to your work? I have heard wind about your Substack community, that there's some newsletter writing. Just tell us everything, Caitlin. Tell us everything.
Yes. So the best way to find anything is on my website. So CaitlinCurtis.com. All the books are there, all the ways to order them, you know. And yeah, the Liminality Journal, which this will be, I think that your listeners will appreciate this. The Liminality Journal is my Substack. We write poetry together. We talk about liminal space and the gray area, right? Like this is what we're talking about. Like all the in-between where we don't really have the answers yet. And right now I'm writing a series called After Church, and it's for people who, you know, have left institutional church community and are trying to figure out what community looks like after. And I think that that's along the exact same vein of what we've been talking about. And again, there are a lot of us that are making those decisions, are in the middle of that decision, or have already left, but are still part of a spirituality, a deep faith, whatever that may be. How do we build community again? Or how do we keep building it in an intentional, ethical, you know, way? And I think that, so that's a new series that I have, and really loving it, as triggering as it is. Really loving writing it. But yeah, I'm on Instagram all the time sharing my books, and I travel and speak. So yeah, look up my website. I mean, it's all there, and I would love to say hi to anybody at my events. And yeah, please buy 5 copies of my book. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
Buy 5. Thank you all. Caitlin, thank you for always saying yes to coming on here and talking with me and just sharing your processing and your work with us. I know that it really enriches the listeners and me. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So good to see you.
Her with Amina Brown is produced by Matt Owen for Soul Graffiti Productions as a part of the Seneca Women Podcast Network in partnership with iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.